Well, welcome back, ladies, to our Bible study segment. This is where we open up the Word, and we are taught from the Word. And today we are back in the book of Romans, and our teacher, Beth Seifert, is standing by with today's lesson. Thank you so much, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, yesterday we talked a little bit about some of what we're going to talk about today, about how we are enemies of God, and we are under His wrath when we are not covered by the blood of Christ. And today we're going to pick that theme back up in Romans chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans. We're going to be in chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Okay, look back up at the top verse. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still weak. Literally, when we were helpless. I don't know about you, but I know that I'm still weak. Every day I see my unrighteousness and how much I need a Savior. While we didn't even know we needed to be rescued, at that point, when we were still ignorant of the gift being given to us, that was when Christ died for us. When we see in the news of someone who has sacrificed themselves for someone else, the person who sacrificed themselves is a hero, right? And the person who was saved, thanks to the hero, right? Well, there's an expectation placed on them now by society and by themselves that they need to deserve it, do something with their life because someone else died to save that life. Often they will even say, I became a doctor for so-and-so, or because of their sacrifice. They do amazing things and give the credit to someone else. Yet in our case, Christ died for us when we didn't even realize we were in danger. We never even noticed the threat to our lives. We were completely unaware of the infection in our hearts. He died for us then. And it is only after the fact that we realize the magnitude of what He actually saved us from. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. At exactly the right time. Not by our human standards, but by God's perfect standard. Christ died for us. At that time. It wasn't a coincidence that God chose to send His Son when He did. At a time when cameras weren't even a thought, much less everyone in the crowd having a camera on their phone to record Christ's miracles and His death and His resurrection. God knew when the perfect time was to send His Son, and that's what He did. The timing of Christ's death was the right time. His death, notice, wasn't for the righteous, the self-righteous, the good person. His death was for the ungodly, for us. And isn't it still true today that, given the choice between saving your own neck and saving someone else's life, we're still self-centered and still choose to save our own lives? And we were neither of those things. We weren't good. We weren't righteous. Yet Christ still chose to die for us. Even more than that, He died for His enemies. Remember from yesterday, without His blood covering us, we are enemies of God. He died for you, His enemy, so you can be reconciled to God. Because of His death, we are no longer His enemies, but we are His children. If that isn't cause for rejoicing, I don't know what is. We are justified, declared righteous before God, because of His blood poured out on the cross. Christ bore the full fury of God's wrath in the place of sinners who would believe and repent. There's no more wrath left for us. Christ bore it all. If, as we see, Christ was able to reconcile us to God through His sacrifice, taking on the full fury of God's wrath, how can we think that he's not able to keep us by his power? Think that one through a bit. We acknowledge that Christ is able to drink the cup the Father had for him, to pay the debt we couldn't pay for our sins, and yet so often we then back away and think the rest is up to us. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. I've got the rest from here. No, it is still through his power that we are kept in his arms. Isn't that something to rejoice about? Knowing that he didn't rescue you from your sin to leave you to struggle through this life alone? It is through him that we are reconciled to God. And he doesn't leave us and walk away at that point and say, well, my work here is done. You guys have to take care of the rest now. Be good. Do you realize that when Christ died, there wasn't an expectation of deserve it placed on us because we never could deserve it? There isn't even an expectation of do something great, at least not by the world's standards. Do you know what is expected of you as you've been reconciled to God through Christ's death? Well, you're expected to give credit to him, to live your life to bring glory to him. That means that you need to know what he values, what he is all about, so that you can be used to bring him glory. And the rest of the expectation on you? To share the gift you've been given. Don't hoard it. Don't keep it to yourself. That doesn't honor his memory, to use the terms that we often use. That shows that you don't appreciate the gift you've been given because you don't want anyone else to have it. So, because of this, we can boast in God's work in our lives because we have been reconciled to him. We can boast that he loves us because he does. We can boast that he justifies us because he does. And we can boast because he reconciles us because he does. We boast in what he has done in us, not what we have done, not what we have deserved. It's all about him. This is not, as we will see further on, a blank check to sin either. This isn't a matter of, well, if Christ died for me while I was helpless and his enemy, then he can't hold it against me if I continue in unrepentant sin. No. In doing that, you are smearing the name of Christ. In representing him to the world in that way, you are causing his name to be blasphemed, because you have no love for him, nor for the things he loves. Ladies, some of us are still living as enemies of God. We're still living lives that show we're ashamed of him. We don't talk about him because we don't want to offend anyone. We don't boast in how he has saved us from our ungodliness, because we don't want to let anyone know we are ungodly, or we don't want to suggest that anyone else might be ungodly either. We have made him Lord of our Sunday mornings, not Lord of our lives. It looks different, ladies. To live for him looks different than just attending church, than just praying at mealtimes. To live for him is to do everything for him, to honor him in all that we do, to bring glory and praise to him, to share him, to live every breath with him guiding our hearts. Do you see evidence in your life of your fear of proclaiming his righteous sacrifice for your unrighteous life? Take it to him and ask for forgiveness and start today. Start living for him. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I'm a very optimistic person most of the time. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not living for Christ today, when we're not facing persecution, you're going to have a really hard time living for him in the next 10 to 15 years as we see the persecution of Christians become commonplace, even in our own country. Don't wait. Start now. Choose your side. And know his word. The only way that you can know what God's will is for your life and what God wants from you is if you know him. So read his story. Stand up and live the way he calls you to live. He will give you the strength and courage to do it. Remember, this life is but a breath. We have eternity to look forward to. If you're more concerned about your comfort in this life than you are about your eternity, you're making a choice that's going to have disastrous consequences. It's time to consider the choice that your actions show that you've made, and it's time to stand up.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. And remember, ladies, all of the notes and these 10-minute podcasts can be found at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. We will take a break and be right back to talk more about today's lesson.